Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the committee to elect Matt Shea Republican in the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's election day. It's election day. If you have not turned your ballot in, do that now. Usually at your local library, there's a drop-off box. You got your ballot in the mail, there's no reason. And you can always go to my recommendations of VoteShea.com and read about who the people are that I recommend. But please, seriously, vote. The liberals expect you not to vote. That's how they gain control of things. People don't show up. Christians don't show up. Conservatives don't show up. Constitutionalists don't show up. Show up. It's your opportunity. And I know our hope is not in man, it's in Jesus Christ. But we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. We must live our Christianity beyond the four walls of the church. Part of that is through voting. Part of that is through voting. Holy Spirit works through us. It's a mystery, I know, but God chose that us as a vessel. Holy Spirit works through us, and this is one of the ways the Holy Spirit can work through is by us voting for godly leaders. And I got to tell you something. We need godly leaders all the more. I've got a lot I'm going to go over in the news. I'm also going to go over the election recommendations here in a second. But Ephesians 2, 5 through 6, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything that's under Jesus' feet, it's under our feet if we're abiding in him and him in us. And I want to highlight something very quickly here. We are seeing the violent left. Now, I don't like using the word left, so I'm going to use the word socialist, but I use it because a lot of people don't understand the true paradigm that everything is on a scale of 0% to 100% government control instead of right or left. So socialists, okay, the violent socialists, the violent Marxists, the violent communists, they are spinning out of control right now. And several years ago, I warned everybody on this show that eventually they would come after the internet. Many of you probably remember me saying that. In fact, I think Kevin Walter and I had a show talking about the fact that they would try to come after the internet. Wow. It's here, folks. It happened yesterday. They are coming for the internet? No. They came for the internet. And they came for Christians and conservatives and constitutionalists. And the fact of the matter is, this isn't 10 years out. This isn't 5 years out. This isn't 2 years out. And for those people out there that would go, oh, this is a conspiracy. You know what? The people that say that's a conspiracy theory are some of the most ignorant, uneducated people I have ever met. You ask them, what is the depth and breadth of your knowledge base, your wisdom base? What have you read? Where have you been in the world? What have you experienced? And it is amazing that a lot of times it's not a lot. Very little. So this is no longer conspiracy theory. They have come for the internet. They have begun censorship on the internet. And I'm going to get to that here in a second. But the point is, we must have godly leaders that are going to push back on that, because when they come for free speech, you know they're coming for the Second Amendment. They've already said that. But when they shut your ability down to exercise your conscience and exercise speech and educate other conservatives, They have just indicated that they are no longer left socialist. They are authoritarian tyrants. They've self-identified. And folks, there's a lot of people talking out there about, you know, are we in a soft... We are in a soft civil war in America. It's not just something pundits are saying. I have spoken with people that are former special forces, that are former intelligence folks in local law enforcement. And everybody is seeing the same red flags. It is a soft civil war. And the fact of the matter is, in such a situation, you've got to choose which side you're going to be on. Are you going to be on the side of the totalitarians, the authoritarians, the loyalists? You're going to be on the side of freedom-loving Americans and the Constitution and Jesus Christ. We're going to be on his side. That's the choice. And it's becoming starker by the day. And people are saying, well, that's polarized. It's not. No, it's already polarized. We're talking about right and wrong. In fact, that's the correct type of polarization to have, right and wrong. The problem is so many people on the social side believe that they're right, even though history has proven them wrong time and time again. But the worst problem is we have people on our side who will not, they dance around in the middle. And, you know, as a friend of mine used to say, the only thing in the middle of the road are dead skunks and yellow stripes. I mean, we are there in America. We are there. And when I say they, if you really want to get to the they, there are four corporations that control most of the companies in the United States and in the world. And if you've never heard that before, perhaps you've never listened to Dr. Stan Monteith. But, and I tell you what, I'm going to put, because I know somebody's going to ask me about it. I know somebody's going to ask me about it. I'm going to pull it up so you guys will know off the top of your head, and you'll know where to go to get it as well, which is because, I mean, I have it memorized, but knowing where to get it is probably as important. And before I do that, if what I just talked about does not get you to vote, I don't know what will. I just don't know what will. Now, you can go online and you can check this out for yourself. There are many different sites you can research this stuff on. And the bottom line is go find out who the board of directors are for various corporations. And you'll find out that a lot of times it's these big four corporations that are on the board of directors and corporate shareholders for all these companies. And so you can legitimately talk about the fact that State Street Corporation, that Vanguard, and a lot of people haven't even heard of these. Fidelity, BlackRock control a lot of these corporations, and people don't know these exist. So I knew somebody's going to ask me about it, and you can go find it. I think Axios is the one that has it. I was trying to find this real quick while we're talking here on the air. All right, I got it pulled up. And you can go read the article for yourself. It lays it out. The site that I found was called Steemit, STEEMIT.com, Steemit. And they were pulling information from Anon News. But the fact of the matter is that State Street Corporation, Vanguard Group, BlackRock, and Fidelity, those are the big four. Remember those and go check it out. It's fairly amazing. All right. Now, I'm going to tie this all back in here in a second. Big data is who is running interference right now for the socialists, for these authoritarians. Okay? And it was probably their intent all the way along. I will tell you that my own Facebook page, we used to be able to post pretty consistently to 250,000 people. And now it takes a heck of a lot of effort to do that same number of people. Because Facebook has made it so increasingly hard to post across that broad of a platform of people. And then also, certain posts that I'll put up will, you know, they'll get like 5 likes or something, even though I know a lot more people saw it. And then I find out that the lot more people that saw it were like, well, why isn't anybody else, normally in the 100, 200 people range weighing in on this? And that's when I started listening to some folks over in Congress about these shadow bans and these ideas that some of the algorithms were making these posts slammed or not as available. Now, I'd had Facebook censor me one time before on a post on a whistleblower, no less, and then they undid it. But when I did that, people were able to share, you know, far and wide. Today, it's increasingly hard to do that. And I've got 2 solutions to it. I'll tell you what those are coming up. So that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing on the international front. Venezuela, 1,000,000% inflation predicted by the IMF by this time next year. And Maduro, of course, survives an alleged drone attack, an assassination. Still unclear if that was legit or not, but either way, how do tyrants deal with hyperinflation? Of course, they remove the zeros, right? Because that's going to solve the problem. No, it's not. Socialism destroys, kills, subjugates. So, on the international front, looking at Venezuela, again, a cautionary tale of an oil-rich country. People say this can't happen in the United States. It can happen in the United States. It can happen in any country if you're following socialist policies to their logical conclusion. Also on the national front, the SPLC, Morris D's, this coming from Big League Politics, talking about some court paperwork alleging that he attempted to molest his daughter back in 1979. So the Southern Poverty Law Center under fire. Now, it's so interesting to me that you don't hear our local law enforcement leaders, well, one of them actually probably would. You don't hear them condemning that. You don't hear this being condemned by P. Jowls and the rest of those folks on the socialist left. Nope. Instead, you hear them attacking the alt-right, this contrived, created thing to label lynch people who believe in the Constitution of the United States of America. Brings up another interesting thing. The DOJ started a religious liberty task force. Okay, that's a great step forward, but they still have ties to the SPLC and the FBI and the DOJ. So you got to ask yourselves, are we going to allow these people who have been a leftist shill for so long, a socialist shill for so long, to have any influence on significant matters like religious liberty? Which brings us next to Antifa. So you didn't hear about this on MSNBC. I mean, this is why people just completely don't trust the mainstream media. Gateway Pundit has the story: leftist Antifa terrorist arrested with bombs, with plans to sell to friends to kill law enforcement. South Dakota officials arrested far-left Antifa terrorist Mark Einerwald on charges of burglary, damage to property, and possession of weapons and explosives. So, this leftist Antifa terrorist that was going to attack law enforcement, and we're seeing that condemned. We didn't even see it in the media. But you will see it on Patriot Radio. and hear about it on Patriot Radio. All right. The next part of this is interesting as well. The SRA, the Socialist Rifle Association. If you have not, just look it up on the internet. Socialist Rifle Association, right? So they want to disarm all of us, right? But now they've realized, hey, if we're going to implement this authoritarian regime, we need guns too. So they have the Socialist Rifle Association now. Folks, I remember 5 years ago, people were like, it's never going to happen. That'll never be in America. It's in America. It's happening today. Also on the national front, creating humans. Very interesting. The essentially growing humans in a test tube. And that technology was announced out of, I think, England. So, again, that's real too. Also, on the national front, Congress is renewing their push to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terror group. Representative DeSantis, this is coming to us from Free Beacon, the Muslim Brotherhood is a malevolent force and American policy needs to reflect this truth. They're having some high-level conversations to see if this can actually happen. And they are gathering, and they did gather for a hearing to examine the threat that the Muslim Brotherhood and its affiliates pose to the United States of America. Now, the Holy Land Foundation trial laid this out pretty well, as a matter of fact, in law. So, very important stuff, and I could not agree more that we need to designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization. And people that defend it really need to explain themselves, that defend the Muslim Brotherhood. Also on the national front, is science moving toward creation and away from evolution? Well, PhysOrg reports, and this comes to us from WorldNet Daily, that 9 out of 10 species on the Earth today, including humans, came into being between 100,000 and 200,000 years ago. So in other words, everything came into being in a very short window of creation. There's this old saying that scientists are climbing the mountain only to find the philosophers on top. Interesting. And WorldNet Daily, and I have that posted up on the site as well. Also on the national front, Bill Binney debunking. Now, Bill Binney, for those of you that don't know, he's the guy that was the architect behind the NSA massive surveillance program, and he actually put in place protocols to protect individual Americans and for it to be constitutional, and those protocols were removed. Safeguards, I guess is probably a better way to put it, were removed. Well, these 12 Russians that were indicted for hacking into the DNC server, this was all debunked by Bill Binney. And this coming to us from InfoWars. Which brings us now, actually, to probably the biggest thing in the news, and that is Alex Jones and InfoWars, within a 12-hour period, completely removed from YouTube, Facebook, and I think they might have left up one channel. Let me caveat that. I think they left up one channel. YouTube, Facebook, Pinterest, Apple. You heard that right. Spotify? Jeesh. Do you ever think you would see the day when a news outlet, which is the main competitor to CNN, is taken completely off of all of those platforms? I love InfoWars or hate them. The fact they did that to one means they can do it to somebody else, and it sets a precedent. This is very, very startling stuff. And I, for one, don't want to live in a country where, you know, you have to be scared that you are going to be taken off the air. And you know what's interesting? On the flip side of it, Facebook and the ACLU, who, by the way, did not come to the defense of Alex Jones and InfoWars, Facebook and ACLU want to make every elected official's pages public, all of them, even if they're campaign or even if they're personal. So don't we have a freedom of association that was just upheld in the Janus decision? We can associate with whoever we want to. Like, I don't have to talk to you. And it's interesting, there is no legislative Facebook page in Washington State because the Ethics Committee hasn't truly allowed it yet. So you're essentially trying to hijack private pages. And, oh, by the way, I thought we owned that data. I mean, that's what they always say, right? I mean, this raises some serious and profound questions. And I think it's time, folks, that we move away from Facebook and away from Twitter. Gab AI, gab.ai, is one alternative that I am looking at very closely. In addition to that, and I cannot tell you the name yet, but I am beta testing right now with some folks nationally and locally a system that has a similar look and functionality to Facebook that we can move toward almost immediately. And when I say almost immediately, like within 30 days. So we're all over that right now, and we're testing it right now. And so far, it is phenomenal. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's actually better. It's a lot better in how things are organized. It's a lot better in the flow of things. It's terrific. And then lastly, Mike Adams from Natural News has set up Reel.video, and it's the alternative to YouTube, and thousands of people are sending in requests. So I'm going to be on there as well. Right now, I am moving a lot of my stuff over to these different platforms, knowing that eventually the day will come when these guys try to shut Patriot Radio down and off the air, and they're not going to succeed. So pay attention when I post this of where to go and start preparing for the day when conservatives are completely censored off the internet. You know, people that are really getting the truth out. Okay, so anyway, I thought you guys would be encouraged by that. It's not going unanswered. Okay, this is happening right now. It's physically present and built. We just need to test some of this stuff out and get it going. Reel.video is already up and running with Mike Adams. You can go check that out on the internet as well. And Gab AI is already up and running too. And they're kind of like an alternative to Twitter. So between those three, we can refocus and get the conservative constitutionalist Christian message out without it being blocked. Also, on the regional front, the Astorita trial has started. Now, just out of the opening statements, there were 8 shots fired down in Oregon when Lavoie Finicum came into the dead man's roadblock. Only 2 shell casings were recovered. Prosecution is saying that Astorita, an FBI agent, is responsible for the rest of the casings going missing. And that's just from the initial opening statements. But the fact that 8 shots were fired at a man who did not have a warrant for his arrest at the time and did not fit the profile for somebody or for the use of a dead man's roadblock. Very, very interesting to see how this trial is going to go. Also on the regional front, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals upholds the right to open carry, blocks the ban on high-capacity magazines. It's like bizarre world we're living in. I don't know what's going on. Also on the regional front, this interesting situation up in Okanagan where this student was chased up a tree by wolves and then was spirited away and intentionally kept from local law enforcement. And they haven't been able to contact her since the last that I had. I don't know if that's changed, but the last information that I had, they had not yet been able to contact her because she had been essentially whisked out of the state. Boy, that just looks bad. Also on the local front, Trezzi Farm Winery, number 8 in travel and leisure. Now, they were actually the number one winery in the number eight region in the United States, but still made Travel and Leisure. Congratulations. It's great to see small businesses succeed like that. Also on the local front, today is Election Day. Turn in your ballots. Also, Franklin Graham is coming August 9th, this Thursday, 7 p.m. Actually, it's 7:30, but you're going to want to be there early. 7 p.m. Spokane County Fairgrounds. Operation Save Spokane is also going to be here on August 11th through 12th, and that's going to be down on Indiana and Ruby. Liberty or Death Rally, that is coming up August 18th, 11:30 to 2 o'clock. That is a pro-Second Amendment rally going to be in Franklin Park. So all of those are coming up. Stay tuned. And then let's go down the ballot recommendations. I'm going to go down these pretty fast, but it is Election Day after all. We have quite a few names that you probably all know. But I'll go through this real briefly, but I'll go over a few that you probably don't know yet. So we're going to start first in the 5th Congressional District. I really recommend that you vote for Kathy McMorris Rodgers. And the reason I do is she actually helped with the Hammond pardon. She also helped with some veterans issues. We're actually still working on them. And she actually reached out, and we had a really good conversation for about an hour. Here's the deal. The Democrat plan is Trump impeachment and chaos, okay? If they gain a House seat, and they gain enough of them, Trump impeachment and chaos. That's what this election is about. And Lisa Brown is a committed socialist. Oh, Matt, how can you say that? Well, actually, because remember P. Giles, Peace Justice Action League of Spokane, who brought in Judith LeBlanc, a leader in the Communist Party USA, as their keynote speaker? Well, a couple years later, they brought in Lisa Brown. So the ultimate communist organization, socialist organization in Spokane, brings in Lisa Brown as keynote speaker. And this is not even talking about her legislative record, where there were tax increases on the table when she was majority leader in the Senate. So she's trying to confuse voters. So educate your friends and family on that. All right, Spokane County Commissioner, District 2, Rob Chase. Here's all I'm going to say about Rob Chase. Rob is a freedom fighter, but also this. He's not going to vote for tax increases. His opponent voted for a property tax increase on top of the already increasing property taxes so that we had the highest property tax increase in the history of Spokane County. Rob Chase won't do that. In fact, he has turned his office around, and we need people that are humble and responsible in government. County Assessor Tom Conis. Now, I disagree with We Believe We Vote on this. Leonard Christian, his opponent, is a multiple failed candidate that is endorsed against virtually every good conservative Christian in this area. And he was chastised twice by fellow members during his brief stint in the House of Representatives for unprofessional behavior. I witnessed it, actually. Now, this guy, I actually approached him a while back after he said something about me that was untrue, asked him to take it back so that we could move on together, and he refused to do it. So I completely disagree with We Believe We Vote on that one race. And Tom Conis is a solid conservative. He's also an experienced assessor on top of it and understands the issues regarding open space land and timber. All right. County Clerk Tim Fitzgerald. County Treasurer Mike Baumgartner. Spokane District Court Position 1, Randy Brandt. Randy's a man of integrity and experience, a solid Christian conservative, but also one of his opponents in particular. I witnessed do something that I think is not just unethical, just massively inappropriate. And so Randy Brandt is the guy. House District 3, Downtown Spokane, Position 1, Tom Taylor. House District 3, Position 2, Dave Lucas. He's the retired Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel who served in both Afghanistan and Iraq. Out here in the 4th District, Position 2, Bob McCaslin Jr. House District 6, Position 1, Mike Volz. Mike's a good member of our caucus. He's been an expert on a lot of things, and it's great to have him over there. House District 6, Position 2, Jenny Graham. Now, Jenny's new. Jenny's been a community leader, though, fighting sex trafficking and child abuse. And her personal story is extremely compelling. Her sister was killed by the Green River Killer. She suffered personal abuse. So she really has a firsthand knowledge of the issue, but just the tenacity of somebody that has seen the horrors of those things and wants to see it corrected. So a great choice, House District 6, Position 2. Then lastly, Senate District 6, Jeff Holy. Jeff and I have been friends for a very long time, stalwart supporter of the Freedom Agenda, and he's been a leader on everything from drone restriction to licensing fee reduction and cracking down on sex offenders. So there you go. That's the briefing. Get out there and vote. Please get out there and vote. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been praying for the show. And if you get a chance, go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US. And then, hang on, we're going to change it. Gab AI, real.video, and then this new one that's coming out, okay? Remember that. Remember, too, this is a listener-supported show, and you can go to VoteShea.com. And also remember that Patriot Radio is on iTunes and Podbean. If you want to listen to it while you're driving down the road or going on vacation. Well, my guest today has not been on the show before, and I'm really excited about this, actually. Rusty Thomas from, and this is, if you've never heard this name, remember, Operation Save America. They're actually coming to Spokane with Operation Save Spokane. And Rusty Thomas is a veteran and an Army veteran, no less. Thank you for your service, and thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, dear brother, and thank you for your service fighting the good fight on the political battlefront.
Well, you're on the front that I think a lot of our listeners really care about, and that is on the issue of life. So if you can, tell the listeners a little bit about your background and traveling as an evangelist, how you became a reverend, all that good stuff, and just kind of paint the picture of how you got involved in the movement.
It's a stormy tale. Well, Matt, you've opened up a whole can there, buddy. Basically, just thumbnail sketch. Raised on the mean streets of Bridgeport, Connecticut. My dad was a hardcore Marine atheist, raised with gangs and drug addiction, womenizing, jails, mental hospitals. Really had a very tortured and tormented childhood. But eventually God saw the condition of my soul, had mercy upon me, and miraculously saved me at the age of 16. I had a Paul experience. He knocked me off my high horse and revealed himself to me in a very powerful way. And in one divine second, became a new man. And in some ways, I kind of went through more hell after I met the Lord than beforehand, because I didn't meet another Christian until about 5 years, and I was sifted like wheat. Went through a lot of struggles in the military, served with the 101st Airborne as an M60 machine gunner, sought an acting career after my military service, and it was there in Hollywood that God visited me in a very powerful way and called me to die to my idol, which was an acting career, and to serve him full time. We fought. He won. He killed me. I let it go. And I've been serving him, I won't say faithfully ever since, but I have been serving him ever since. And it was in the fall of 1988 that I was set up. Brother Matt, it's like what the prophet Jeremiah said to the Lord, you set me up and I'm set up. And It was really a threefold witness, brother, that broke my heart and opened my eyes to the plight of the little ones who are seeking to survive in the womb of their mothers. The first, I guess, blow to my hardened heart and blinded eyes was a film called The Massacre of Innocence by Eric Holmberg. And it's a well-done film. The first half traces the roots of child sacrifice, the shedding of innocent blood, biblically back to the tribes Moab and Ammon. And he just does a pretty thorough job of going through the scriptures that reveals this hellish, you know, brutal act, you know, of child sacrifice, the shedding of innocent blood. But it was the second part, Matt, that forever changed my life. I was a pastor at the time, and I never shied away from the burning issues of the day. I publicly spoke out against our national sins, and even with my mouth, I would say from the pulpit that abortion was murder. The problem was I never really acted like someone was truly dying, and the Lord had a contention with that level of hypocrisy that I was living with. And it was during that film, for the first time, that I actually saw an abortion. You know, up to that point, abortion was a word we sort of argued about and, you know, pro-choice, you know, arguments, pro-life responses, you know, and we debated the issue and things of that nature, but I had never seen with my own two eyes abortion. And it was in the film, Matt, where this brother had the song from Pat Benatar that was called Hell is for Children. And it was a song about child abuse. And every time she screeched, Hell is for Children, I saw severed limbs, decapitated heads, and there was blood just everywhere. And to say I was overwhelmed was an understatement. My body, my mind, my emotions could not absorb the evil that I was seeing with my eyes. And so I shut off the tape, Brother Matt. I ran into my room. I lied prostrate before God. And I'm not talking crying, brother. I'm talking a wailing so intense that my physical chest hurt. There were sounds coming out of me like a wounded animal. I could not believe this nation that I had loved so much had sunk to this depravity of evil. And it just, it was devastating. It was literally, Matt, my Isaiah 6 moment with the Lord. I saw the Lord. I saw this Holocaust, and literally my life became undone. It just unraveled before my very eyes, and I was just convicted to my core. Well, the next week, following this devastating blow to my soul, it was the fall of 1988. It was in Atlanta, the Democratic National Convention, where I was literally watching people who were confessing Christ being handcuffed and hauled away to jail, which was the birth of Operation Rescue on the national scene. And so the week prior, God plows my heart. He opens my eyes. The next week, I'm seeing Christians hauled to jail as they're singing songs to Jesus and praying for the end of this Holocaust. And then the following week after that, this is the third week, this is the third witness, I'm at my church, Matt, and I get a knock at a door from another pastor whom I never met before. And he said, "Are you the pastor of this church?" And I said, "I'm one of them." He said, "We need to talk." And I said, well, what do we need to talk about? And he said, I just returned from Atlanta. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Are you telling me that you were a part of what just took place with Operation Rescue in Atlanta? And he said, yes, sir, and we need to talk. And I'm telling you, Matt, when he said that, the Spirit of God just hit my heart so hard, the tears started rolling down my eyes, and I said, yes, sir, we need to talk. You know, what meaneth this? What is God doing? And he just shared with me how the Spirit of God was just bringing brokenness and repentance to the body of Christ. And for the first time in this Holocaust, instead of the church pointing the fingers at the Supreme Court and the pro-abort groups and the feminist groups and the homosexual groups, it was the first time we pointed the finger in the right direction at the Church of Jesus Christ. And there was brokenness, and there was repentance, and we brought forth fruit meat for repentance by storming the gates of hell. And through that effort, thousands of babies and lives were spared, and hundreds of souls came to faith in Christ. So that's a little bit of the history, brother, how God birthed me into this movement.
It is absolutely powerful. And you know, I watched a movie, too, that had actually showed a physical abortion occur, and there is just absolutely no way when you see something like that, you cannot be changed. You just can't. And I think that's why there has been so much pushback on, you know, mandatory ultrasounds and stuff, because when you see it's a human being, you know what you are doing if you're killing that baby. And I think that's, you know, technology is winning or helping to win the pro-life fight for us. In addition to the great move of God that I see happening with a lot of people. Let's talk about that. So you became National Director for Operation Rescue, Operation Save America in 2014. What has happened since then? What are you seeing in our nation? And I hope you'll be glad to know we tied to defund abortion in Washington State, where this travesty began before Roe versus Wade. I don't know if you knew that or not. Washington State passed an initiative before Roe versus Wade. So what a great place to start turning it around.
Amen. Well, let me just say this, Matt, because this is really important. We're in the midst of what we're terming a paradigm shift. And what I mean by that, when I became National Director of Operation Rescue, Operation Save America, we had certain biblical principles that we used to guide us as we fought the good fight of faith to end the American Holocaust. But there was some youngsters that God stirred their hearts and opened their eyes to this Holocaust, and they began to sort of refine and redefine the issues and putting a distinct difference between pro-life-ism and abolitionism. And even though our ministry had those principles from the very beginning, what this group did, these abolitionists, is they helped us to see how it could be applied in the political realm. Because up till they came along, these young abolitionists, we just kind of fought the battle on the streets and in the culture. And for me personally, I could not politically find something to stand upon that didn't violate God's word or my conscience when it came to the life of these children. And what I mean by that, all the pro-life incremental bills that are very well-meaning, but every pro-life incremental bill still ends with the caveat, and now you can kill the baby. Well, that was too much for my conscience. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures that God gives us a moral authority to make bargains or cut deals when it comes to the life of these children. God's word is clear, thou shalt not murder, and he didn't put the appendages, unless, of course, the Supreme Court rules otherwise. And so through these young abolitionists, and then Pastor Matt Truella, who has written a book that everybody in your audience needs to get a hold of. He wrote a book called The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate. And so through the history and heritage of Operation Rescue, abolitionism, and Pastor Matt's book, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrate, we believe that we have come up with a vision and mission that passes biblical muster, historical muster, and constitutional muster to end this Holocaust one state at a time by implementing the doctrine of interposition and the doctrine of the lesser magistrate. And so, in essence, what we're doing, Matt, is we're going from state to state to state to equip the church to interpose in their sphere of authority, which the short-term strategy there is to get the saw out of the shaker, the light from under the bushel, and actually go into the culture, go to the exposed areas, go to the death camps, and minister the gospel of the kingdom, and through prophetic ministries and through mercy ministries, provide a way of escape by those that are being lied to, which leads to the murder of the innocent. At the same time, we're equipping the church with the long-term vision of being missionaries or take on a mission to the magistrate to remind the magistrate at the state level that they also have God-ordained and constitutional authority. Let me just give you this example, Matt, of what I'm talking about. We have liberal states like Colorado, who know that there are laws on the books that forbid marijuana use in our federal statute. Well, the state of Colorado decide to rise up and tell the federal government, you go pound sand. We don't care what laws are on the books in Washington, D.C. In Colorado, it's Rocky Mountain High, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. And they do the same with sanctuary cities, and they do the same when it comes to illegal immigration. Even though we have laws on the books, these states, these cities, tell the federal government, go pound sand. We're not doing it. Well, for the most part, they're doing the doctrine of the lesser magistrate for their political agenda, which is leftist. So here we have other states who are more conservative. And yet when it comes to the two most burning issues of the day, when it comes to our survival as a people, the protection of innocent life and preserving the God-ordained institution of marriage and family, we have had yet one governor, one state legislator, or one sheriff tell the federal government, under my jurisdiction, no, we are no longer going to murder babies. No, we are no longer going to redefine marriage. It ain't going to happen. Under my jurisdiction, I swore oath to protect the life and liberty and property of the citizens that I serve. And you, federal government, you, Supreme Court, you are the lawless ones who have unleashed this hell upon us. And so we're not going to make a suicide pact with you. We're actually going to break this thing in Jesus' name, and we're going to put the constitutional chain back on the beast so we can restore order and law and checks and balances to secure a future and a hope. And so this is a little different than what's been going on for the last 45 years, where we've been on this pro-life hamster wheel that has been bottlenecked by the Supreme Court. So we're getting off of that old rope paradigm, and we're doing this new paradigm in the hopes that state by state, we will be set free from this monster.
So in the last few minutes that we have, and I will tell you that there was a meeting, the Council of Seven States, that happened here almost at the beginning of the Obama administration, actually, that talked about exactly what you're talking about, the doctrine of lesser magistrates, the idea behind the 10th Amendment, the idea that the federal government can't compel states or anybody in states to enact or enforce federal regulatory programs or any other programs for that matter, and just standing your ground and saying, no, not here. That's not going to happen. There have been some sheriffs that have done that, most notably Sheriff Wheeler up in Bonner County, Idaho. And I just look forward to having the conversation after we're done on the radio and see how we can move forward with this. But in the few minutes we got left, tell us real quick what's going to happen when you guys come to Spokane.
Well, brother, what an amazing, significant thing that is taking place in Spokane. Honestly, my heart's a little giddy about it. This is somewhat unprecedented, what is taking place. You have local churches, you have pastors, you have abolitionist societies, all coming under the banner of the Lordship of Jesus Christ to begin the process to implement the short-term strategy we talked about and the long-term strategy. And so the dates, Brother Matt, are August 11th and 12th. That's a Saturday. We'll be meeting in the morning, I believe, at 9 o'clock at the Salvation Army, which is right across the street from the death camp, the Planned Parenthood. We'll meet for a time of instruction and Q&A, and then we're going to go to the death camp, and we're just going to have church right at the gates of hell. We're going to just do the very things that we do in church, and we're going to apply them right on the street, right at the exposed area. We're going to lift high the name of Jesus and declare his gospel. And then we're going to go on a march throughout Spokane, and then in the afternoon I'll be meeting with pastors so we can lay out the vision and mission and what that will look like as we move forward. And then Saturday night at Spokane Covenant Church, I believe is the name of the church, we are going to have a rally, and all are invited. I believe it begins at 6:30. And then the next day, God willing, I will be speaking at the same church and delivering a message called Upon This Rock, Abortion Ministry as a Legitimate Mission of the Church. And that will conclude our time there, but hopefully that will just be the beginning as we lay out this plan, and prayerfully God's going to raise up good soldiers of Jesus Christ to implement this plan to eradicate abortion from the state of Washington, and if God be pleased, to spread it throughout the land.
Where can people go to find out more information about this, your website, and any other calendar programs or anything you have online?
Well, thank you so much, Brother Matt, for helping us with this endeavor. We certainly appreciate it, buddy. And they can go to our website, which is www.operationsaveamerica.org. They can look under the event button there and find out a little bit more. We also have a Facebook event page, which is called Church Arise, Operation Save Spokane. And I pray that your listeners will also not only come out, but tomorrow we have set aside a day of fasting and prayer for this gathering. And our hope is that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Christians will gather together in the name of Jesus to address and overcome this evil that is just savaging our people, in Jesus' name.
In the last minute, we've got real quick message to the young people out there who, you know, think this is just a matter of it being a woman's body.
Wow. Well, only thing I can say to our young is, tragically, you have been the target of this demonic attack. One-third, that's right, one-third. You can go into your classroom or to your church and just count. One, two, three, you're dead. One, two, three, you're dead. Young people, each and every one of you are a survivor of a Holocaust. Each and every one of you were expendable. Each and every one of you could have been murdered by this unjust and wicked decree. And I just want to share with you, you have survived, and you have survived for a reason. just like Moses survived the attack when all the evil of Pharaoh said, throw the babies in the Nile, kill the male children. And the Hebrew wives said, no, not under my watch. And Moses survived, and he grew up to be a great deliverer. The same thing happened when Jesus was born, the deliverer, the champion to save lost mankind. What happened? Herod unleashed the hordes to go after the young. Every time Satan raises his ugly head, he goes after the seed of men. Young people, you have survived this thing. And if the prophetic trend of Almighty God stands true, you survive for a reason, and that is to rise up and end this evil in our nation. You got to rise up like a corporate Moses that says, let my generation go. Enough is enough. You will no longer destroy my generation in Jesus' name. This will give you vision. This will give you mission. This will give you vital service for your King. If you are bored with Christianity, young people, put on the armor of God, roll up your sleeves, and fight this battle to deliver your generation from this evil in the mighty name of Jesus.
Rusty Thomas, National Director for Operation Rescue, Operation Save America, thank you for joining me on Patriot Radio today, and I really hope that we have some time to talk when you are in town. And be blessed. Thank you for what you're doing, and keep up the fight.
You too, my brother, and look forward to seeing you and hugging your neck.
Amen. All right. Well, this is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you. Remember, August 11th and 12th, may you make this generation the greatest one.